Blog Talk Radio.
Put your hands in the middle.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Everybody.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. 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 There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Of Jesus, to break every chain, 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 break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Oh, yeah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Yeah. There's an army rising up. Yeah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break
name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah in this place. Oh, come on, somebody somewhere ought to know it. If you believe he's a chain breaker, huh? If you believe he's a chain breaker, if you believe that he's a God who can break chains of depression, break chains of mental illness, break chains of financial hardship, if you believe he's a God who can break chains, somebody somewhere ought to just put their hands together and give God a praise in this place. If you can feel the chains,
you just got to let the thing flow. We welcome you right now to the birthplace of gospel music, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We thank you so much for tuning in to this chain-breaking session we are about to have in this place. We want to just ask you right now to go ahead and hit that share button. Watch this. You might not be the only one who needs some chains broken. So go ahead and share this with some folks that you know might be going through. Go ahead and send them this invite. Send them this Facebook invite or refer them to our EbenezerBrownsville.org page where you can watch on YouTube right now. We are so grateful that you joined in with us today. We bless God because he's a breaker of chains. We bless God because he can change and turn some situations around. We bless God today.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody's chain just fell right there. Glory to God. Somebody's chain just got broke right there. God, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory in this place. Let us go to the throne.
Father God, we welcome you into this place. God, we know that you are God who is omnipresent. But God, we give you a personal invite into this place, God. This place, our hearts, God. We ask right now, God, that you would impart your Holy Spirit on this worship service today, God, like never before. God, we're asking that you would touch each and every individual, God, who is playing a part in this worship today, God. Whether it be in the sanctuary or watching on the other side, God. Move by your Spirit, God. Do what you do, God. And God, we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody somewhere said amen. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And we got one verse, the 28th verse. Galatians chapter 3. The 28th verse, and it simply reads, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The word of God is already blessed. Amen.
Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord. Will you hold my hand while I'm on this tedious journey? I want Jesus every day of my life to hold my hand.
Amen. Let your church say amen. I want Jesus to hold my hand. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Again, we want to welcome to this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the historic birthplace of gospel music. We are so excited that you are here today to worship with us electronically via our various streams, Facebook Live or YouTube. We are excited that you are here, that you took the time to be with us today. And we pray that God blesses you real good being in the house virtually here at Ebenezer. I want to make a couple of few announcements that we are wanting to promote for our faith community. We want to make mention that we are indeed in the season of Lent. We are on our Lenten journey, and we have asked that you would join with us during this season of Lent, that you will be with us and you will accept the challenge that we have set for ourselves. One of the things that we're asking our members and our friends and our e-members to do is to read the entire New Testament during this 40-day period. You can go on our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org, and you can get our reading plan, and so we can do that together. We're also asking you to join with us every Wednesday at 6 season for corporate prayer. You can join us on our Zoom platform so that we can pray together during this season of Lent. And certainly when we're living in the season of a pandemic, God's people ought to be a praying people, and we are inviting you to be with us during our corporate prayer. We are reaching beyond the walls of Ebenezer, and we have two projects that we community outreach programs that we are working on. The first is a women's shelter. We are collecting socks for adult socks and children's socks here at the church for a women's shelter that we are working with. We invite you just to come by, and you can just drop that off at our church. We are open Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. From 9 till 2, someone will be in the building. You can do that as we seek to help a woman's shelter here in the Chicagoland area. Also, as you know, in Chicago and also pretty much all over the country, it is indeed cold outside. And Ebenezer is launching what we're calling Warm Hearts Community Outreach. Our community of homeless men and women are especially at risk to the elements. Many of you who live in Chicago have seen some of our homeless men and women, and it has been freezing cold in Chicago. You can help reduce the danger to those on the streets this winter as we as a faith community show the love of Christ in a meaningful way. By donating to our Warm Hearts Outreach, you will not only help keep our community's neediest, most vulnerable citizens warm and safe, but you will also help maintain their dignity and comfort during this most difficult time of the year. And so I invite you to go to our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org, and you can donate $27. $27 will provide for our homeless gloves, warm hat and socks, and also a snack so that they can have during this season. Go on our website and look at it. If you are so moved, donate to Ebenezer's Warm Hearts Community Outreach. It is our goal to bless 100 souls, 100 of our homeless during this season. Winter is not over in Chicago. And I know our hearts and our minds have turned towards Texas, who ain't used to this kind of weather, and we want to be a blessing to them as well. But we also know that charity begins at home. And if you could have seen some of the homeless in Chicago trying to keep warm in our very frigid temperatures, you would have been moved just as well. And so we invite you to join with us as we continue to reach beyond the walls of Ebenezer as we seek to make a difference in our community. We also want to promote one of our own. Brother Ronald Taylor is a professional chef. He is the son of one of our members, Sister Taylor, and he's running in a contest, and he is seeking Ebenezer and our friends of Ebenezer support. You have to have a Facebook Live account, and you just go to Fave Chef, FAVCHEF.com, and you can place your vote for Brother Ronald Taylor. We want to support this young brother who is doing great things and is trying to make a difference in the community. We also want to make mention that we've had three of our members to make their transition in the last week or so. And many of the arrangements have been made, and we want to announce to our faith community and our friends that Deacon Thomas P. Knight's arrangements have been made. There will be a public viewing Wednesday, February 24, from 5 to 7 at Noble Funeral Home, and that's at 8158 South Exchange. Please be mindful that they, at their facility, are only allowing 10 people in at a time, so govern yourselves accordingly. And then the celebration of life for Deacon Thomas Knight will be Thursday, February 25th. The wake starts at 10 a.m., followed by virtual services at 11 a.m. For the funeral, admittance is for immediate family only. But the good news is you can still support that family and watch the services online at thenoblefuneralhome.com. Just go to noblefuneralhome.com, N-O-B-L-E, funeralhome.com, and you can watch and be present with that family online. And we are certainly praying for Deacon Thomas Knight family. Also, our beloved brother Bobby Thomas services have been finalized. His services of celebration will be next Saturday here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church at 11 a.m. The wake begins, and at 12 noon will be celebration of life. There will be visitation for Brother Bobby Thomas at the A.R. Leak Funeral Home in Country Club Hills on that Friday from 2 to 4, from 2 to 4 at A.R. Leak in Country Club Hills this coming Friday. We certainly want to support Brother Bobby Thomas and his family. Really, Ebenezer was his family, and there are other members of Ebenezer that were incredibly close to him, and we want to support him and his family during this season. And then finally, one of the longtime members of Ebenezer, Sister Darlene McDaniels, who was a member of the Usher Board and a member of the Senior Chorus. I remember her in the days of my youth, who was very, very active in Ebenezer. She made her transition. The McDaniels family has elected to have a private celebration, so there are no public celebrations for Sister Darlene McDaniels. We remember her, and we pray for her, and we lift her today as we lift Deacon Thomas Knight and Brother Bobby Thomas. Let us continue with worship this morning as we recognize that God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you.
thank you down deep on the inside. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise them enough. Hallelujah.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's out, and we can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, yeah. Folks without homes, they out in the street, and the drug habit something they just can't see. Muggers and robbers, no place seem to be safe. You'll be my protection every step of the way. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord. for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace. Thank you, Lord.
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 Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take it with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody somewhere ought to just be shouting thank you right now. Oh, he's been too good for you to sit on your thanks, huh? He's been too good to sit down on your thanks, huh? He's been too good. I don't know about you, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul just cries, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, 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 right there.
Hallelujah.
You see, when somebody does something for you, there ought to be a thank you down on the inside. There ought to be something on the inside of you that says, thank you. And then when you got a relationship, it comes out. My soul says thank you. Oh, my God. Yeah. My soul says thank you. Maybe you've never been in a place where all you had left was a thank you. That'll preach by itself. Maybe you ain't never been in a place where all you got left. Look, it don't cost you nothing. God. Hallelujah. Let's come on. Come on. I know we got to go. My God today. Look, this is how you thank him. Let me help somebody. See, this is the time of the service where you can show your thanks. Now, I'm not talking about tithing, because see, tithing is what you owe. Don't get it twisted. But your offering is how you say thank you. Oh God, don't miss this. Tithing is what you owe. Your offering is how you say thank you. Yeah. See, your all right. Come on. Look, this is that time of the service where you can join in. Maybe you couldn't sing off key like me, but you can go to EbenezerBronzeville.org. Come on, somebody. Don't laugh too hard now. I heard you too. You can sing off key like me.
That's all right. You can sing off key like me, or you can just go to EbenezerBrownsville.org and let God use your fingertips. Come on now. Let him use your fingers and give your best gift at EbenezerBrownsville.org. Amen. Just hit that donate button. You can do that. Or you can text to give. The number is on your screen right now. Go ahead and hit that text to give. Give the amount that God puts on your heart. Go ahead and do that. Or you have two other options. You can either mail or drop off your gift right here at 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, 60653. Come on, y'all. Let's give us some more of this thank you music. I know we got something. We got something for some offering. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me something. That'll work. Come on.
Grateful for your generosity, for your support of the ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We are thankful to you, and we're thankful to our members, our e-members and friends who continue to seed into the work and ministry here at Ebenezer. We have a pretty lengthy prayer list that we would like to lift several names. We are praying for the family of Darlene McDaniels, praying for the family of Deacon Thomas Knight. We're praying for the family of Brother Bobby Thomas. Remembering in prayer Sister Shirley Anderson, Elnora Ames, who had surgery this week, and Mary Sumter, we're continuing to pray mightily for Grace Lee and praying for our brother and friend Kenneth Sexton, continuing to pray for Brenetta Pearson and David Pearson, and continuing to lift up Brother Stanley Stovall and Patricia Butts. We are remembering Brother Rob Martin, who is asking for prayer, Lindsay Mayfield and Imogene McCray, continuing to lift up Sarah Billups and Janie Burns. We're offering a praise report and thanksgiving for Everett Newchurch, who is in the sanctuary today. We are lifting up all caregivers right now, those who have been given the responsibility to care for loved ones and friends. We know the road is difficult and challenging sometimes. It may even seem lonely, but we know you're going to make it because God will sustain you. We're lifting up in prayer Richmond Briscoe and Nathan Briscoe, Linda Coles, Elizabeth Hill, Brother King Cox, Reverend Kenneth Cox, who is on the mend now after receiving a long-awaited kidney transplant. We're grateful today, and we're lifting up those who are living outdoors. We're lifting up some students at Texas Southern University, those who are in Houston and other places throughout Texas and throughout this land who have been impacted by the winter storm. We know, because we are witnesses, that God is able, and it ain't about our ingenuity, our intellect, or what we think we know. We know we never would have made it if it was not for the Lord. Because God has promised to sustain us in our physical challenges. He has promised that he would even walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. So when we grieve, we know we're not by ourselves. God will give us the strength to go on and see what the end will be. And so we come to God right now. I invite you right now to join with us as we lift this altar call before the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you today. First, just to say thank you. Thanking you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thanking you, God, for your loving kindness right now. Thanking you, God, because you allowed us to see another day. And God, we are bold enough to know that you didn't have to do it, but you did. And for that, oh God, we say thank you. God, you have heard the names of those who are on our prayer list. You know what they're wrestling with. You know the concern that's in their hearts and their minds, oh God. We bring their concerns to the altar right now, God. We lift them up and say, have your way. Whatever they stand in need of, God, touch them in the name of Jesus. If there's healing that they need, touch, God. If there's a financial breakthrough that they need, touch, God. If they need their minds to be relegated and brought out of depression, God, touch in the name of Jesus. If they're cold and hungry, touch in the name of Jesus. God, we can't do nothing without you. We need you every minute, every hour of the day. We need you to protect us, oh God. Protect our young people, our children, God, during these difficult times. God, we're lifting up those who are struggling right now in the midst of this pandemic, those who have been impacted, those who are struggling with the disease, those who have lost their lives, oh God. We're asking, oh God, for you to comfort right now. We're asking, God, because we know you're able. And we know you will do it, oh God. Because we're asking in your name. God, we're lifting up our faith community right now, oh God. We're lifting up Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, oh God. We're lifting up its members, oh God, its friends, its e-members, all those, oh God, who seek refuge in this place. God, we ask that you bless and keep them, God. We're lifting up our musicians, oh God, our media team, oh God, our social media teams, oh God, who are working right now. Have mercy in our communities, God. God, we seek to be a church that goes beyond these walls. Because you told us to go ye into the land and spread the good news along the highways and byways of this world. So God, help us as we seek to go beyond these walls. God, we could stand here for another 30 minutes just saying thank you, just giving you praise and adoration because you're worthy. You're so worthy, God, of the praise. You keep on doing great things for us. Even when some of us turn our back on you, oh God, you still bless and you still keep. For that, we say thank you. God, we ask now that you bless the balance of this service. That something that may be sung or uttered, spoken, oh God, will bring life. Will bring life anew to those who shall hear it. And we will be ever, ever so careful to give you the praise and give you the honor which is so richly belongs to you. We lift now this prayer upon the wings of the morn and place it before thy feet. To the all-wise God we pray, for his sake we pray, realizing him and affirming we never, never would have made it. Never, never would have made it if it wasn't for you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people say, amen.
One touch will change don't have much to bring. My heart is torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is inside. Stop playing these games. We need a word for the people say. Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. We're desperate. We're chasing after you. No rules, no religion. I made my decision. Don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and to sing to you this song.
You're hearing once more and again Galatians 3 and 28 and James 2 and 9. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. James 2 and 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I want to speak from the subject, we are all one. We are all one. As we continue this February theme of preaching from the perspective and lens of Black history and our rich history, we are all one. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Apostle James wrote the first law against discrimination. He said there would be no respect of persons. He wrote that preferential treatment of anyone would be considered unlawful disobedience or transgressing the law. It's right there in the word, for God calls it sin. It's a sin to treat one person better than another. The Apostle Paul said we should take it a step further. He said that we should esteem or regard or reverence or respect, honor, admire, appreciate, cherish, and value others better than ourselves. It's a tall order, but it's the only way to avoid divisions among us. Former president number 45 seemed to be a master at creating divisions. Divisions was the technique that propelled him to the White House. His modus operandi was and is convince one man he is better than another, and he will be your friend for life, all the way to hell. Caesar and Napoleon used the same tactic. They called it divide a impera, or divide and conquer. Division, it's the ever-present problem that prevents peaceful coexistence. Paul said, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Sadly, he was referring to the church. How much harder is it to gather men of many nations and cultures to the table to establish our common values? Uncommon values are what feed our divisiveness. Some nations believe in equality for all. Others believe a woman's place is in the home rather than the house. Some nations believe in justice for all. Others offer justice on a sliding scale based on your skin, your kin, and your bank balance. Some nations believe in health care for all. Others, like America, believe it's only for those who can afford it. Some believe immigrants fuel a nation's economy. Others believe we should empty out this nation and send all of us back to where we came from. We could go on and on and on and on about our differences, those positions and opinions that divide us. If divisions were easy to resolve, the world would not have so many hotly contested debates or elections or revolutions or marches or court battles. There is so much division today that in this 21st century, evil discourse sounds more like a civil uproar. And as I preach this sermon, I'm keenly aware of the lack of civility even in our own government, in our communities, and in the church. If you watch the news, you're getting a refresher course on how not to behave, and sadly, it comes from some prominent places. We all saw and witnessed 45 seem embarrassingly untrained in the rudimentary practice of graciousness. If this is what you get from private school, I'll stick with public school any day. But he speaks his mind like a four-year-old with no parental training. But at four, my parents taught me that it's nice to be nice. Consequently, nowhere in the human divide more obvious than in America. Other countries are less civil, yes, but other countries are not the world power to which other nations look for examples of sound leadership. The United States, one of the youngest nations in the world and a democratic work in progress, claims to be ever striving to operate under the stringent laws of its fair and just constitution. But are we? Our constitutional blanket is being torn asunder to expose just how bigoted and divided we really have been since our inception and still are. Our 1790 law that permitted citizenship to whites only is resurrecting its ugly head for our consideration once again, as our former administration suggested denying citizenship to immigrants of color, but preferring a more Norwegian look. Divisions. Divisions, beloved, are not new. There were divisions in ancient times. Jesus had to deal with divisions. There were divisions among the Jews and the Greeks, the Gentiles and the Samaritans, the rich and the poor, divisions among men and women, divisions among the bond slaves and the free, division, the act of separating ourselves into communities based on culture, religion, economic status, race, and prejudice. It is a volatile environment for searching out solutions for our differences. We sadly have a tendency to dig our heels in when asked to compromise or adapt. A recent study shows that adults generally believe what they have been taught to believe by parents, by their environment, or external influence. We seldom want to think beyond the box we have created for ourselves. So how do we reconcile our differences? Can we agree to disagree and still live peacefully together? As always, we can look to the Word of God for our answer. First, and this is nothing earth-shattering, but it's something we need to hear. We have to accept that we all have the same basic needs. The Declaration of Independence calls it life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The trouble is that we get off track when our own happiness is gained at the expense of others. We all want and need some basic necessities in life. We need food and water, sustenance. We need protection from the rain and cold, shelter. We need a means to earn a living, a salary. But the methods we use to achieve those necessities should not infringe on the rights of others to do the same. Paul had to remind the Galatians that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have the same access to God, who offers to meet our needs on a level playing field. Micah tells us, makes it plain in his word, where he says, God hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The words are easy to swallow. The problem is the application that we fail to enact. You see, we want justice for ourselves, but not for others. We want mercy for ourselves, but not for others. We want others to show humility while we stand our ground. If we could turn ourselves inside out, we would all look the same. That will solve the race problem, but divisions would soon arise in some other fashion. Shoe size might suddenly take on new significance, or maybe height or weight. We have to stop looking for ways to keep these petty divisions going on. And start looking for a way to eradicate them. It will take a fortune in forgiveness and a mountain of mercy, but we have Christ as our perfect example. Secondly, we have to accept that even though we all have the same basic needs, listen to this, we are not all the same. That may sound like an oxymoron, so let me explain. We are all made in the image of God, but we are not clones. Each of us is fearfully, wonderfully, and individually made in God's image. We each have distinct gifts and talents that contribute to creation. The Apostle Paul knew this well. He taught us that just because we are not all hands or feet or ears, it does not mean that we are not a part of the body. In other words, we all have a uniqueness that contributes to the overall success of the human race. Of course, no one knows that better than the Christian church, whose very survival requires us to work together as a team and appreciate rather than criticize each other's differences. There is no room for suspicion, skepticism, and strife. Those characteristics form a covetous crust over our relationships and cause us to miss the greater good of brotherhood and does not allow us to be one. Where would we be if a Scotchman named Alexander Fleming had not discovered penicillin? Where would we be if a former slave named George Washington Carver had not discovered the benefits of crop rotation? Where would we be if a Sunday school teacher and inventor, Wilson Greatbatch, had not invented the pacemaker? Where would we be if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had not used love to declare war against hate? Our differences, those attributes that set us apart, are the very tools God uses to push our humanity to a higher level of understanding and bring us closer together. Yes, we are different, but those differences are essential to our growth and to our achievement and must be respected. God made us different so we would enjoy the benefits of a collective, inventive, and creative spirit that magnetically draws us together. Finally, we have to accept that we need each other to survive. The popular song by Hezekiah Walker got it right. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. You see, division is a disease, and it weakens us. The Word of God calls it a schism. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Paul explains that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Our sharing of strengths and weakness is the very thing that makes us strong. Now, I know that Paul is speaking to the church, But if the goal of the church is to spread the gospel to every nation, then along with that speaking of salvation through Jesus Christ, we must also spread the core principles of Christianity. One by one, we must peel away the hardness of our divisions to expose the commonality of our concerns and our need for each other. How long would a divided nation last if the warm South refused to sell its food to the cold North? How long would a divided city last if the blue-collar workers refused to work for the white-collar workers? How long can a nation prosper if the rich grow richer while the poor grow poorer? How prosperous can a nation become when divisions denigrate our collective energies? There's a story that's told by a lady named Betty. Betty was an African-American nurse. She highlights the depth of our division. The story is told there were more than 150 elderly patients in the nursing home where she worked. She was the only nurse of color. One patient in particular made it clear to the director of nursing that no colored nurse was to ever touch him. One evening, he suffered a heart attack. Betty was right there when it happened. She called 911, then rushed to his bedside to administer CPR. The dying man grabbed her arms and whispered, "Don't you touch me." She screamed for another nurse, but no one came, so she tried CPR again. "No," he screamed. And he punched her with his last bit of strength. And then he died. What did the nurse do? She tried to revive this foolish bigot. She worked on him until the paramedics arrived, but he was dead. You see, divisions, they cause death. Not just death to our bodies, but death to our souls. The soul starves for a lack of harmony and unity, and our carnal, divisive nature will eventually sound our death knell. Dr. King knew this. He seized God's opportunity to rip the cover of our divisions and expose our veritable weaknesses. He dreamt of a greater world where brothers and sisters live together in harmony, but there is still work to do. The dream should not die with the dreamer. And so how do we bridge the divide? We begin with each person using his or her God-given potential to affect positive change. God says, "Love thy neighbor." He is no respecter of persons. God's agenda applies to the soul of every living person. Those we love and those whose actions we despise. We are called to work towards the greater good of humankind. It's okay to be angry when injustice pervades our communities, but sin not. Instead, use your righteous indignation. Use your anger to inspire a movement for productive change towards the greater good of brotherhood. Divisions lower our morality. Divisions debase our humanity. Divisions corrupt our dignity. Divisions weaken our abilities. Divisions diminish our capabilities. Divisions stunt our growth. But our unity can fuel the greater good for all creation. There is no respecter of persons because God is in control. God can take our discontent and develop a transformative movement. God can take our unhappiness and create a crusade for change. God can take our differences and use them to make a stronger world, a stronger community, and a stronger church. Division, color it, call it, classify it, camouflage it, clothe it, conceal it, or cover it as we may, it is still corrupt because God is no respecter of person. Division, portray it, perfume it, paint it, polish it, project it, and practice it, but it's still putrid. Division, savor it, soften it, seclude it, or socialize it, it's still senseless. Division, discord, disagreement, disharmony, dissonance, it's a road to a dead end for a community, for a nation, for a church. There is a greater good, and it's brotherhood, because we're all one. Unity is essential if the church is to be an effective witness for Christ. Nothing could be more contradictory to the Christian message than a divided church. Now, let me say this before I close this out. There is nothing wrong with having a special affection for the one who led us to Christ or guided us in greater righteousness for years or counseled us during a dark time of personal struggle or comforted us in our greatest need. But if we lift these up as heroes to the exclusion of the ones God is currently using to minister his will, we have failed God's desire and have actually undercut the ministry we have received. For John 13, 34 and 35, and a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So, beloved, when we embrace the fact that we need each other to survive, when we are united in speech, united in mindset, united in purpose, when we set our affairs to align with the will of God, the glory of God shall be revealed in our lives and in our church. God's glory is yet to be seen in all its fullness and in all its splendor. Whatever of the Lord's presence we have already known, we shall yet know far more. Because, beloved, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in us. So, Ebenezer, the best God has for us, I declare, is yet to be. We have not yet seen in any place the glory of God as we shall one day see. We will one day, may God make it soon. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. We have not yet seen the best of what God can do and what he will do. The best sermon has not yet been preached. The best song has not yet been sung. The best prayer has not been prayed. The best service has not yet been rendered. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed when we come to understand that we are all one. Yeah, I need you and you need me. We need each other to survive if we are going to go forward. We need to recognize that we are one. The word of God for the people of God. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. And amen. We're going to open the doors of the church. Perhaps there's someone who is watching on our live stream right now that wants to make a commitment to be a part of this great body, to be a part of the church, to be in right relationship with Jesus the Christ. We're extending an invitation to you right now. We ask right now that if you would just put your name, your email address in our chat section. someone, one of our deacons, will follow up with you. We don't want you to miss this opportunity. Every day we're reminded that all we have is a right now moment, because tomorrow is not promised. And so now is the appointed time. Now is your time to give your life to the Lord. The Lord won't let you down. He will guide and direct you if you just trust him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, though she shall pass, shall never shall live. Is there one today? The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Is there one today? Hallelujah. Just put your name in the chat section, and we will follow up with you. Ebenezer can be your home. We don't care if you're local or abroad, if you're in another state and you have found spiritual food here, we are extending the invitation to you right now to be a part of our fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God, just keep playing that. Just keep playing that, and we will have the benediction. Just want to remind you once again, let us support our bereaved families this week in a mighty way. If you're able to go out to the wakes, to come to the wake to support, we encourage you to do that. Send a card of encouragement. Let them know that you care and you are concerned about what they're going through. I'll tell you, it makes a difference. You may think that little 55-cent stamp don't make a difference. You put a stamp on the card and you send it to these grieving families, it'll make a difference, I tell you. Please, please also join with us as we read the New Testament. Go to our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org. It'll give you the whole plan, and you can join with us. And then also, please remember our two outreach events, the Warm Hearts Community Outreach. You can go right to our website, and you can donate $27. We have a button for just that purpose on the website. And then for those who are local, we're looking for you to bring those socks for children and adults as we seek to bless a homeless shelter, a women's shelter in our community. Hallelujah. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to him who's able to present you for his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor and glory, now, henceforth, and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people say, amen. God bless you. Remember to be kind to one another. Thank you.
Thank you. That's